Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. Following the coronation of King Charles yesterday, our talk is by Nick Tall, a reader at St. James, as he reflects on kingship and service. The readings are taken from Luke 2, verses 24 to 30, and 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 10.
The first reading is Luke chapter 2, and beginning at verse 24. A dispute arose among the disciples as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the first letter of Peter. And to put it into context, Peter, writing to the churches, has been encouraging them, reminding them that by putting their trust in Jesus, they are becoming a separate and holy people. So, 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 4. "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So it's the coronation weekend, something that we haven't seen for 70 years. And whatever your personal views on the monarchy may be, I don't think you've been able to escape the fact of everything that's been happening yesterday and in all the build-up. There have been all sorts of reactions around the country. At one end, you've had people who've been described as royal superfans, dressing up in Union Jack flags, camping out on the Mall for days just to make sure that they get the best possible view of everything that's going on. People for whom the monarchy says something about who we are as a country, and which maybe encapsulates something of their values and a sense of national identity. Then at the other end of the spectrum, there are people who don't believe in a monarchy. People who say that a modern, forward-looking democracy just isn't compatible with a privileged hereditary system. And then you get all sorts of people in the middle who, you know, maybe don't know what they think, probably generally supportive of the monarchy, but it doesn't really factor much in their day-to-day lives. But, you know, the chance for a community get-together, a bit of a knees-up, throw in an extra bank holiday, and they're more than happy. Personally, I'm quite fascinated by the history in the occasion. And I've just been thinking about some of the Somerset connections with the ceremony of coronation. Did you know that the very first coronation ceremony of a King of England happened in Somerset? You're looking mystified, I will tell you more. It happened at Bath Abbey on the 11th of May, 973 AD, over 1,000 years ago. The king at the time was King Edgar. No, I hadn't heard of him before I looked this up. And he was crowned by someone called St. Dunstan, who was Archbishop of Canterbury at the time. And he had been born in Somerset as well. And it's one reason why Somerset Day is on the 11th of May, because that was the day of the first coronation ceremony for a King of England, and it happened in this part of the world. There you go, interesting fact to dine out on. Now, I'm not sure, but I think it's quite likely that this Somerset coronation link is why the Bishop of Bath and Wells has always had a role in every coronation service going way back through the ages. And it was really good yesterday to see our bishop, Bishop Michael, by the side of the king, supporting him throughout the ceremony. There are all sorts of parallels between the monarchy and the Church of England. Both are ancient institutions. Both are involved at the heart of national life, with obligations to everyone in the country, whether the people in the country like it or not. They both have moments in their past which are glorious and some which, let's be honest, are quite checkered. And both are wrestling very much with how they can keep true to their core values while also adapting to be relevant to diverse 21st century Britain. And it's certainly true that hankering after the past and refusing to change is not an option for either. And the relationship between them and the wider society in the wider public in British society they're called to serve is a complicated one. Now, Shona mentioned it, and I also appreciated the fact that there was such diversity of people involved with the coronation ceremony yesterday. If this was a time to say something about who we are, then it was good on this historic occasion to show the wide variety of people who make up our country at a time of coming together. Now, last week, I just happened to be in London on Wednesday. I had a meeting right next door to Westminster Abbey. And as I'd arrived early, I had a bit of time, so I walked around to take in the atmosphere. I have to say, the Wednesday before the coronation, it was packed, and most people there were either police officers, tourists, or BBC technicians. It was a really, really strange atmosphere. And as I walked around, I'd never really in my head kind of pieced together the geography of central London and what's close to what. But one thing that suddenly struck me is just how close Westminster Abbey is to the Houses of Parliament. It is literally across the street. It's probably further, about as far from here to the Brew House as it is between the Palace of Westminster on one side of Abingdon Street and Westminster Abbey on the other, very close. And I did wonder, out of the two, why a king would choose to be crowned in one of those buildings and not the other one. Surely, it would have made sense in years gone by, at least, when the role of the monarch was one of governing over the country, of ruling over everyone, that you start marking your reign in the seat of power. Have your authority and your role confirmed in the place where the decisions are made, just so everyone knows who's boss. But it doesn't. It happens across the road in a religious building. That perhaps made sense in the past when people believed in the divine right of kings, and when kings claimed that they were in the job because their authority came from God. It's a very good way to squash any question of your legitimacy than to say that you've been appointed by God to govern, because who can argue with God? But there's always been an uncomfortable relationship between the Christian faith and earthly temporal power. The monarchy, we even saw it yesterday, is associated with power, with the military, with wealth, with privilege, which is the exact opposite of the life of Jesus, which was poor, humble, and lived cheek by jowl alongside those who were cast out and marginalized. The central image of Christianity is the crucifixion, a symbol of suffering, of pain, of failure, and yet also a symbol which has spoken deep truth into the human condition for centuries. And while the carpenter from Galilee hanging on the cross is a million miles away from the pomp and ceremony in a royal abbey, we should not overlook the Christian themes that were there throughout the coronation ceremony. Because amidst all the gold, the jewels, and the finery, right at the start of the service, the king was presented with a Bible. And he was told, "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords." With all the crowns and with all the gold and with all the jewelry, the most valuable thing was declared to be the Bible. How true is that? The king was also anointed with holy oil, which had been brought from the Mount of Olives in Israel. Just as many priests are anointed at their ordination, it was an act of making holy, of setting apart. One thing that struck me at this point is, you don't earn the right to be king. King Charles is not in his position owing to his great talents or hard work. He has many talents, he does work hard, but they are not why he's the king. He's not the king because it's been conferred on him as a reward from some sort of popularity contest. You don't vote for a king. It's a calling, just as our following God is a calling. And so we are not Christians because we've earned it. We're not Christians because of our great intellect or because of our saintly behavior. We don't come before God as his children because we are different from anyone else. We are Christians because we hear God's calling and we have responded, which is open for everyone. And that makes us part of an anointed royal priesthood, as Peter wrote thousands of years ago in the reading that Roger gave. So we can all see in the splendor and the majesty of the coronation something of the glory of our own being chosen and accepted by God, being set apart and holy and anointed for service. While the attention of the world and all the media focus will never be on any of us in the way that it was on King Charles yesterday, know that the celebration in heaven and the joy in the heart of God when you respond to his calling is far, far greater and glorious than anything we have seen this weekend. And our calling, like that of the king, is to serve. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven will be the least from among us. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Some have said that it was wrong to have such a lavish spectacle, costing millions of pounds, when so many in our country struggle to pay the bills and rely on food banks. But be in no doubt, as Christians called to be part of a royal priesthood, our calling is to be alongside those who struggle in solidarity with them, being as Christ to them. And when the street parties are over and the bunting has been packed away, we will answer that calling to follow Christ and to serve his people, all of his people, whether they know him or not. As Archbishop Justin said in his excellent sermon at the coronation, the Holy Spirit calls us to love in action. Each and every one of us is called to join a royal priesthood. And in our serving, we look to Jesus, the King of Kings, of whom the Archbishop said his throne was a cross, his crown a crown of thorns, his regalia the wounds that pierced his body. Each of us is called to serve, whatever that looks like in our own lives. The full glory of being human is to live as Christ, walking alongside those in need and working to put others before ourselves. That theme of service was present throughout the coronation ceremony. I hope and pray that King Charles will use his position as our king to model a life rooted in Christ, a life lived for others, particularly those who are most excluded. We are also called to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to love and serve those around us, and ensuring that the house of God is a place where all can know that they are accepted and that they are loved. We are a royal priesthood, not through accident of birth, not by hereditary privilege, but by the invitation of God. So may God bless King Charles and guide him in his role as monarch. And may God bless all of us and give us the wisdom and strength to follow him and fulfill our calling, to be ambassadors of Christ and to serve a world in need. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.